Well, good morning, everyone. How are we this morning? Good. Yeah, Letty, we're good. Well, this morning we're going to continue our core value series and looking at worship and growing and sending, and with the emphasis on why. Why worship and why grow and why send? And so we're talking today about why grow and why should we grow. And so to start out, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think real hard, okay, because it's kind of a tough question. How many of you like being wrong? How many of you didn't just, you can't wait for an opportunity to be, nobody. Nobody likes being wrong. We really don't, do we? We do not like being wrong. We want to be right. Because when we're wrong, it hurts our pride, it's embarrassing. And we all want to be right. We don't want to be wrong. But we are, aren't we? Don't we make mistakes all the time? And sometimes being wrong isn't a big deal, right? Oh, I thought there was eggs on the list and there wasn't. Or I went to the store and I forgot the milk. I was wrong. Okay, that's not necessarily a big deal. Sometimes it can be a bigger deal. You know, at work you get a number wrong or something and it costs the company money. Or you get something else wrong and it's a little bit more of an issue. You forget a certain day or a certain appointment and you get that wrong and it has bigger consequences. And sometimes being wrong can be fatal, can't it? You know, sometimes there are many people who, you know, they thought they could make it through that intersection even though there was an oncoming car and they didn't. And it was a fatal result. Maybe on the workplace, somebody thought that all the safety stuff was in place, but it really wasn't, and an accident happens, and it's fatal. I mean, who wants to be the doctor or someone who prescribes the wrong medication or makes a problem in surgery, and being wrong is fatal? And so being wrong is, you know, sometimes it's not so bad, but sometimes it's extremely important. And you know what? Where we don't want to be wrong is when it comes to matters of eternity, do we? Because that can be fatal. It can be fatal spiritually for us. And none of us likes to be wrong. And so instead of being wrong, we want to be what? We want to be right, don't we? Doesn't it feel so much better to talk about being right? But to be right, you have to know the what. It starts with a T and ends in ooth. You have to know the truth, don't you? Okay? So what we're talking about today is why grow. And the reason, one of the reasons we want to grow, one of the reasons we want to know more is we want to learn the truth. Because if you don't know the truth, you're going to be, starts with a W, wrong, right? And we don't want to be wrong. And we especially don't want to be wrong when it comes to matters of truth, when it comes to matters of God. And so we're going to look at some of the reasons why we want to grow to learn the truth. Because the truth is extremely important. And to look at this, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. Okay, and if you need to, if you don't have a Bible, if you want to use one of the black Bibles that are in the chairs there, that's on page 1018, 1018 in the black Bibles. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. And we're going to use this kind of as our outline here to talk about why we want to grow in the truth. So we're going to work our way through. We're going to start with the first verses, just 3 and 4. Actually, I'm going to back up a little bit more. I'm going to start in verse 2, even though I said it was 3, because I was rereading it this morning and I realized that verse 2 has really good stuff. So Peter here is writing to the believers. He's writing to believers who have been sent all over the place, and he's trying to encourage them. And so he says this in verse 2, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires." So in these first few verses, what we're seeing here is we're going to see the importance of knowing the truth, okay? Why do we need to know the truth? And one of the first things he says in verse 2 is we have abundance through what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 3, he says, we have everything we need for life and godliness. Through what? Through the knowledge of him. Because if we know the right things, if we know the truth, then we know what it is, right? So we have to know the truth. We have to have the knowledge of him. And if we have the knowledge of him, we can do these things that he talks about, participating in the divine nature and escaping corruption. But we need the truth of who he is. We need the truth of how he created things and how the universe runs. And since God is the one who created everything, we would assume that he knows how it works, right? We would assume that he has the truth, that he has the understanding of this. And in fact, part of us being able to grasp the truth really starts with the premise that God created the world, doesn't it? Because if you really believe God created the world, if that really is something you believe, if you understand that to be truth, it changes everything else. Because now everything else lines up with that. Because if God created it, then he knows how it operates. He knows what it is. And he becomes the source of truth. And so we have to start with God created the world, and he is the source of truth, and we need to know this truth. Now, I also want to make a distinction here. This is kind of a Dave distinction, okay? You won't find this in a textbook anywhere. You have to come here to get this stuff, okay? There is things that we deal with that I'm going to call physical truth, and then there's things I'm going to call relational truth. Okay, there is physical truth. There are laws of physics. There are things in nature which occur, which God put into motion. There is truth of gravity, right? There is truth of quantum physics. There is truth of all these different things of light and darkness and that sort of thing. There is physical truth out there, and God does have the principles of physical truth because he created them. But the Bible is very little concerned with the idea of physical truth. The Bible talks about relational truth. And it's the truth of how we relate to God, how we relate to each other, how we understand ourselves before God. Okay? So sometimes when you get into a discussion with somebody about truth, they might be talking about physical truth and we're talking about relational truth, and it kind of creates this weird interaction. So be sure you kind of get this understanding that yes, they are both about truth. You can be wrong about gravity, right? I can pick up this bottle, open it up, and put it over my head and say, the water's going to go up. It ain't going to work, is it? Because that ain't true. All right? I can say that I can lie to someone all I want and it's not going to hurt them. That is not true. It's going to hurt them. So we have to have truth in everything. Physics, relationships, our understanding of God. And through this, he says that there's two things in verse 4. Through this, he has given us his very great and precious promises. Okay? Our knowledge of him, and God has given us these great and precious promises. What are these great and precious promises? Well, throughout the Bible, we see that God gives us promises to love us. But he also promises that he will judge evil. He promises to redeem people. He promises to guide people. He promises to bless people. He promises to curse people. There's a lot of principles and things that God says in the Bible about who we are and what happens and how those things work. And if we understand, he says, these things, he says, through these, he's given us these great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Now, that's a mouthful, isn't it? What does this mean, to participate in the divine nature? We know that God is divine. God is holy and perfect. Okay? And we also know that the Bible says, and Paul encourages us to be holy as he is holy. So I think part of participating in the divine nature is being who God wants us to be and acting how God wants us to act. And we can't be who he wants us to be and act how he wants us to act if we don't know the truth of what he wants of us. And so participating in the divine nature is partly being who he wants us to be, but I think it also is just operating according to his plan, operating according to the way God designed things. He designed us to interact in certain ways. He designed us to be able to relate to each other in certain ways. Most of us would probably like to live life to the fullest, yes? I know I would, okay? And so we want to be able to do that spiritually as well as physically, okay? A lot of times when we think about living life to the fullest, we think of success and money and recreation. But there's a spiritual side to success. In fact, God defines success very differently than we would. And we need, the only way to get to this is through the knowledge of him. That's what he says. Through the knowledge of him, understanding that truth, we can participate in the divine nature. And so as we have this knowledge, you know, there's kind of some different things we have knowledge of. Yes, we need to know who God is, right? If we don't understand who he is, then we're sunk because we don't understand his purposes for us. We don't understand what he's trying to accomplish in us. But also, we need to understand ourselves. We need to understand mankind, because if we don't understand what God was doing with us and through us and in us, we won't be able to operate in the truth. And finally, we got to understand God's principles of those relationships between him and man and one another. So we need God's truth so that we're going to participate in this divine nature at all levels, so that we're upward and outward and with one another and inward in my own integrity, I have God's truth in me. But the next thing he says is that if you have these, we can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it's pretty easy for me to gravitate towards my own desires. All right. And normally I don't think of them as evil, but you know, when I want to have 37 Scotcheroos, okay, that probably isn't the best thing for me. Okay, when I want to do my own thing and watch all the TV I want and all that, you know, what is that evil? Well, it's not good. Is it according to God's truth? This is where we have to start sorting these things out. But it's always easier to gravitate to our own desires because in our minds we think it's easier, it's more pleasurable, it feels good, it builds our pride. We think it protects us from harm, or so it seems. But really, a lot of times that's just a corruption of the truth. That these things that we want to do for ourselves is really nothing of what God has designed us to want to really do. There is truth in everything. And one of the things that kind of came to me in this is if you have truth, and truth is right here, everything else is error. That's a lot of error. But, and I've done, you know, you could do this with little kids. If you say, what's 3 times 7? Most of us know it's 21, right? But you ask a kid and they'll be like, 4, 6, 9, 22, 44. How many numbers can you guess that are all wrong? An infinite number, right? There is one truth. Everything else is error. If you need a part for your car, okay, if you need this certain little wingfangle that goes under the newsdobber, okay, there's only one wingfangle that's going to fit there. All the others don't fit there. Everything else is error. There's only one truth in that situation. And so one of the things is, if we're going to escape corruption, we have to understand that there's one truth. Everything else is error. And there's a lot of misconceptions of truth in our society today. A lot. A lot of people think that truth is what I believe. I make up my own truth. It's my truth. It's the truth for me. Folks, I can have my truth that this water isn't going to fall on my head, but I guarantee you if I open that, my truth isn't going to do me any good. All right, I can think I can pull out in front of that semi that's coming down the road 50 miles an hour. My truth isn't going to do me any good at that point. So people say, well, my truth is what I want to believe. Yeah, you want to believe it, but that doesn't make it true. A lot of people in our society think that truth is those things you can experience. So if I experienced it and I felt this and I experienced that, then that now that's true. Or it's not true if I don't experience it. We know that's a fallacy, right? Because there's lots of things out there that you and I have never... I almost made it to India, but my train got canceled. So I really don't know if India exists or not, right? Because I've never been there. Of course it exists. A lot of people think that truth changes with the situation, that truth is fluid. No, it doesn't. Truth is absolute. It is what it is. But in our society, we can get to this idea that, what society wants to do is look for those gray areas. So when you start talking about an area like abortion, right? The question is, well, what about rape? What about incest? What about all this? What about that? The real question is this a life inside the womb or not? Are you killing a life or not? That's the question. It's not about all these whatabouts, 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 whatabouts. In our society, if you watch TV or you talk to kids, and even in our education system, that you know, we've been teaching people for ages to think outside the box. And we've gotten so good at thinking outside the box that we can't think in the box anymore. And there's this danger that we've been taught to think outside the box. Everybody looks for the loophole. Everybody looks for the exception. And so it whittles away at truth because you start pulling truth from the corners, trying to whittle away at what it is and creating an exception or some reason why that truth isn't truth anymore. But folks, truth is truth. And we've got to know it. We've got to stand on it. We need what is truth. And truth starts, I'm going to call it from the macro level, and it goes all the way down to the micro level in our lives. Okay, we've talked about there is truth about who God is, right? And what he's like. That's the big truth. We get that. God exists. All right. Then we kind of move down, maybe like we have the commandments, the Ten Commandments. Okay, that's a truth. This is how we should live. It narrows it down and gets a little more specific. And then we start getting a little bit more specific. What about the truth of ourselves? What do I really believe? What am I really doing? How am I really living my life? And as these things get, you know, these truths, as it gets closer and closer, it affects us more and more, right? You can believe God exists. What's Jesus say? That he says the demons believe and tremble, right? They believe, but it doesn't have any difference. You start believing the Ten Commandments. If that's truth, now it's going to start affecting what you do. You get down a little closer, and now you start thinking about your own personal life and the decisions you make. And at the micro level, it gets all the way down to what are you thinking? What are those little actions you're doing? So the truth affects every little area of your life. This week at work, I had this huge project I got in. It was horrible, actually. I had a terrible time at work. And there were all these numbers and everything and that I had to be tracking, and I missed tracking something. And I had this nagging thought, you know, maybe I should be tracking that. And I thought, nah, it'll be all right. Guess what? It wasn't all right. I spent 10 hours between Thursday night and Friday morning trying to reconcile where those numbers went. And in the midst of my own little pity party of why do I have to stay up late and do this and fix these and I should have known better, blah, 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 I thought, how often do we do this in our spiritual lives where we say, nah, it'll be all right. This little thing won't really matter. This thing really doesn't make a difference. And God is saying, and the reality in my work situation, it made a huge difference, okay? That little number that I should have been tracking made a big difference. And it came to light, and I thought, wow, isn't that just a great story of what's going to be like? Every little thing we do, and we go, oh, it doesn't really matter. The truth is, see, that's a lie, right? Doesn't really matter. The truth is, it matters. The little things in our lives matter. And so down to the micro level, we have to get away from the corruption, these selfish desires, these things that are evil desires to say, it's okay, I can do this, it's all right. No, we need to know the truth. That's why it's important to know the truth, because if we don't know the truth, we're not going to do the right stuff. We're going to think wrong is okay. We're going to think it's okay to fudge numbers and to lie a little bit and to risk ourselves and do these things. So that's why it's important to know the truth. Now I want to talk about, so it's important to know. Now let's talk about why is it important to grow in the truth. Okay, because that's what this is about, growing, right? So the importance of growing in the truth. First thing is, there's a principle that says you will live what you believe. You will live what you believe. If you believe you can get away with this and this and this, you'll do that. If you believe God exists and that his truth is truth, you'll live according to that. You'll live what you believe. In fact, sometimes how you live reveals more about what you believe than what you think you believe, doesn't it? How can we live right if we don't know the truth? But you know what? When it comes to this situation, God, we can't learn it all at once, can we? I mean, this is why we grow in the church, in the truth. You don't know all the truth immediately. In fact, we'll never know it all completely. You know, how many musicians, when they have learned everything there is to learn about music, and they can say they're done? You know, a chef with all of the different ingredients. How many chefs say, "Oh, I've learned everything about chefing, and I'm done"? An athlete, we just had the Olympics, right? Those people, they just hopped on those bobsleds for the first time, flew down a mountain and went 90 miles an hour and never crashed, right? Do you think maybe they started on a slower sled than the one that goes 90 miles an hour? All right. Or the people doing the spins on the ice, right? They didn't start with four spins. They started with one. We grow in the truth. We grow in the things we know. God doesn't expect us to know it all, right? And we can't. But that doesn't mean we don't work at it. That doesn't mean that we don't try to learn. And if we go back to this passage in 2 Peter, in verse 5, he says this. For this reason, what's the reason? Because God has given us these precious promises that we should know and we should live, right? Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. All right, so you're adding these things to your faith. It's not like you have it all at once. Now, it also isn't linear. It's not like, well, once I've conquered goodness, now I shall move on to knowledge. And once I've conquered knowledge, I shall move on to self-control. I think it's more like how Jan makes her famous chili, right? Jan says, I'm going to throw in some ground beef, and then I'm going to throw in some chili powder, and I'm going to throw in some onions, and I'm going to throw in some garlic, and I'm going to adding stuff in just to make it better and better and better until you got this final chili that is really good with cheese and Fritos on it, okay? This is what he's saying. Add to your truth. It's not like it's one thing after another, but add to it, add to it, add to it. Build it up and make it better and better and more flavorful and more full. And what's it culminate with? What's at the bottom of that list? I think that's not like the last thing you add. I think that's the whole point. What's at the bottom of the list? Love, right? It culminates with love because God is love. And that's where this is where we're going. We're going to be God-like. God is love. So we need to be adding these things to our knowledge, but also to our application, right? It doesn't do us any good to know this stuff if we don't do it. You can know it all you want, but until you put it into action, it's not going to do us any good. And so truth is, this is a good distinction, truth is not just knowledge. Okay, you have to know the truth. But until you are living the truth and doing those things that are true, I can study all I want about bobsledding down this crazy path that goes 100 miles an hour, right? But until I get on a sled and try and do it, I have no understanding of the truth of what that really is. And for us, as we get to know God, you know, sometimes God wants to stretch us. Sometimes he wants to put our truth into action. He wants us to go and reach out to that person or talk to someone or care for this person. We have these opportunities to do things that God wants us to do because they are all part of his truth of who he is. Because we will live what we believe. So we have to keep growing. I was talking to my friend Carl about this, and he said, you know, there is the actual truth that if you're not growing, you're dead. It's true, isn't it? Scientifically and spiritually. So I have some really good advice for you. Don't die. All right? Don't die. Don't be dead. Grow. Build on the truth with truth. Build on it. Now how? Okay, so how do I grow in the truth? Well, obviously, a good place to start is looking in the Word of God, right? Because it is the ultimate source of truth. We can pray, we can ask God for enlightenment. But we'll also grow in truth here, right? As we hear about it. As we worship God together. As we learn together. As you come on a Wednesday night with your SALT group and interact and challenge each other and ask questions. As you call up a friend and say, hey, I've got this question and I don't know how I should deal with this. Could you pray with me? Could you give me some good godly advice? We really need to have a hunger for it, right? That's the thing. If we want to really move towards who God wants us to be, we've got to have a hunger for the truth. We want, you know, why grow? Because we'll get closer to the truth. And the more we know the truth, the more we'll live it and the more we'll be who God wants us to be. These things are worth the effort. Sometimes it is really a pain to try and get here on a Wednesday night, or it's really a pain to invite someone over for dinner, or it's really a pain when somebody calls you up and says, I've got this problem or that problem, all right? But it's worth it because you're going to grow in that, and they're going to grow in that, and you're going to know the truth, which leads us to the final point, which is the importance of what I'm calling showing the truth. We talked about knowing the truth, growing in the truth, and now this is the importance of showing the truth. In verse 8, he says this, but if anyone does not have them, he's talking about all these things we're adding up, right? He is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his last sins. Whoop, I'm sorry, 8, I would jump to 9. Number 8, if you possess these qualities, the kindness, the love, in increasing measure, They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to point out, ineffective and unproductive in what did he say? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where did we start with? What did he say? Remember? He said we had the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God and the knowledge of Christ. So Peter here is giving us kind of these bookends. We have to know the truth, but the truth isn't as much of a what as it is what? It's a who. The truth is a who. The truth is God. The truth is Christ. They are the embodiment of truth because they created truth. So we need to not just have this truth of this mental, logical, what's right and what's wrong, but the truth is a person. The truth is a who. We're back to that idea of the relationship in a truth. But if we don't know who Christ is, if we don't grow in that, it's not going to show, right? We'll be ineffective and unproductive in our lives, in our ministry, in our spiritual walk. When we talk about showing, okay, there's kind of two things there that I see. One is we can talk about, I'm going to show someone the truth because I'm doing that, right? But there's also an importance of showing the truth in that it's like the fruit of the Spirit, okay? Fruit on a tree appears because of what the tree is. Okay, sometimes we've talked about this before. An apple tree does not go, I got to make apples. Boy, I'm going to make an apple, right? An apple tree makes apples because it's an apple tree. And Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kind. It's fruit. You don't sit and go, I got to be patient, I got to be kind. No, if you're in the Spirit, if the Spirit is in you, that stuff just comes out naturally as an apple comes out of an apple tree. You're going to be kind and gentle and all of those things. You don't strive for that. It's because of who you are, but the who you are because you know the truth and you know the person who is the truth, right? So part of showing the truth isn't that you're showing it off. It's just that it's showing, right? Like if you see a boy and a girl who have suddenly fallen in love, it's showing, isn't it? It's all over their faces and you can see it and you go, "Aw, that's so sweet," okay? If your puppy dog is excited to see you and he's wagging his tail all over, it's showing. You know, the truth from us should be showing, not because we're making it happen, but because it's just happening because of who we are and what God has made us to be, and our understanding of that. And God is the source of that, right? Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's pretty full encompassing, isn't it? He is the truth. He has the truth. He knows the truth. John said when Jesus came, he said, Jesus came full of grace and truth. He's full of truth. He is the source of that truth. David in the Psalms, talking to God, says, your word is truth, talking about the source. God is truth, Jesus is truth, the word is truth. It is about knowing him, knowing your creator. It's a person, not just a concept. So the question for you is, do you want to live in the truth? Do you want the truth of who God is and what he's done for you to show in your life? If so, then you're not going to be who God wants you to be. You're not going to show the truth. This isn't going to just radiate out of you if you don't do anything. You have got to grow. You've got to start somewhere. Maybe you're just going down the little kiddie sled. You're not quite ready for the bobsled yet. That's okay. Are you getting on the kiddie sled? Or are you just going, I'm okay. There's all these places in life where it's just easy to go, well, I'm okay. And God's saying, I got so much more for you. We want to show that truth. So why grow? Why study, learn, practice? Why come to church, fellowship, do service, do ministry? Because we want to be who God created us to be. We want to live in the truth. We want to be growing, and the alternative is to be dead. I don't know about you, but that's not a very good alternative. Growing is something, we said at the beginning, this is a core value of our church. We want to be a church that grows. We want to be a growing people. We want to be people who are moving forward and not just sitting saying, I'm okay. We want to be people who are going, God has more and his truth is out there, and I want to know what it is so that I can put it in my life and I can be fruitful and productive for him. We want that as a church. We want to be growing in our knowledge of him. And in the next year, we're going to be working at providing more opportunities and better opportunities for you to grow. And part of the purpose of this series we're going through now is to tell you, guys, when these things come up, take advantage of them. Don't just go, well, there's that other class, or here's this other thing, and nah, I don't really have time for that. If you don't have time for that, you're going to end up dead. Okay? And not just figuratively, you will be dead spiritually. Because if you're not growing in the Spirit, in fact, someone said, I've heard people say, well, your spiritual life is like a car, it's either in forward or reverse. I think really, the spiritual life is like a treadmill. And you're on this treadmill, and the treadmill is always making you go backwards. And the world and Satan is sucking you back all the time. And if you're not walking, I could do my moonwalk, you want to see that? Okay. Just walking, all right? You got to walk just to stay where you are. You got to walk hard to grow and get ahead. So if you're somebody that's just saying, well, I'm okay in my spiritual life, I'm all right. No, you're moving backwards. Okay, why grow? Because we have to keep refueling ourselves with the truth of God. We got to be renewed in our minds. We're going to try to provide these opportunities. We're going to probably try to challenge you. Jan found this great quote by Charles Colson. Some of you know he was a Christian writer and an apologist and stuff. And he says this. He says, the process of being equipped is like military training. I can't but remember my own experience in the Marines. Intense physical training, death-defying obstacle courses, nerve-wracking field exercises. Shouldn't it be the same for soldiers of the cross? If you're looking for a church, find one that realizes that it is the basic school of discipline and training for Christians. Pick a church where you will be best equipped for the spiritual battle raging on around us. It is a battle for eternal souls. And no Christian can afford to be just a weekend warrior. I think it's a great quote. And we want to try to be this kind of church, a kind of church that will provide you with the discipline and the training, and it's not easy. It takes time, it takes commitment, it takes effort. We are going to be asking you in the next months to set aside probably more time and effort than you ever have in your lives to grow in the truth of who God is. But if we don't, we're just going to be moving backwards. We're not going to be a church that can go out there and battle for the souls of people and stand on the truth of who God is. So why grow? Because we want to know the truth. Because it's a core value of growing and being the people who God wants us to be, to live in light of the gospel and be able to take that gospel forward. When you grow, you'll be able to be sent and go, and you will know God, and you will worship him. And that's what we're going to do now. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would give us a renewed desire to really want to know your truth, and not just a sterile knowledge book truth, Father, but the living truth that is a person of Christ and is the person of Yahweh, the living God. Father, would you help us to have that hunger and thirst? Would you shake us from our places of complacency? Would you build us up and grow us and help us to grow in truth? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.